before the bloodbath begins, slither your way over to the host's socials. For the podcast, slash over to Twitter at the BHO underscore podcast. Instagram, the Baron's Hideout podcast. Then stab over to Dean's Instagram at Dean of the Dead Hot Sauce. Listen to the show on your favorite apps and Patreon. Enjoy the slay and try to stay alive. For the next period of time, strap in as the hosts rip and tear at the unsuspecting guests, in which they learn their dark secrets and methods of the genre. In this bloodbath, no one gets out alive. This is Within the Barons.
Today is an Australian writer, director, and producer, Tristan Barr. And we are here to talk about his film, Subject, and all things found footage. Tristan, how are you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me, man.
Oh, man. It's my pleasure, really. We were just talking before we started this and just being so thankful for Screenbox for always, you know, giving us a little bit of an early access, as you will, to a lot of the films that are coming out, especially when it comes to the originals and the exclusives and everything. And as soon as I heard there was a found footage film coming out, I was like, I need to watch it. I need to.
That's good. Yeah, I mean, I'm the same. It's like, you know, Screenbox will pushing some really cool stuff, and they were very supportive with us when they kind of heard what we were doing early on. They got back to us really quickly and were in full sort of support. So we're even talking, I don't know if I'm jumping the gun here, but we're talking to them about a few other films that are of the found footage genre. So yes, there might be more to come and some pretty cool concepts as well. So I don't know if we should talk about that today, but maybe after Subject, maybe after people see Subject, we can follow up. Yeah,
for sure. And before we start diving into all the questions, just so everybody knows, it will be going on Screenbox August 22nd. So next week, and I'm really excited for everybody to go and watch this. But before we dive into the film, I always like to kind of bring it back and ask any kind of guests that come on here of where did it kind of all start? Where did filmmaking or writing or directing or even acting, where did all that kind of start to happen in your life? Like, what sparked it?
It's a good question. I had a handy cam when I was very young, and I think my parents got it to me because they were going through a divorce and they probably wanted me to have something to do. So it's probably like some deep seated fucked up, like emotional stuff that I don't really know. I played with this handycam with my brother for, you know, all through my kind of informative years. And we would just cut sort of videos together that you know, were us basically saving the world, or, you know, like, once we found the horror genre, we did we had this like creepy under our house where I'm from here in Queensland, it's very warm, and they have these houses built up on stilts, and under the house is this like is always like quite creepy, and like so we played a lot of kind of, you know, like, you know, horror sort of style films of, you know, Freddy and Jason, and
of course, and you have to include them. You have to.
Exactly. So that's kind of where it all sort of stemmed from. And I was lucky enough to kind of, go into a career of it. I went to like acting school, and my parents, they wanted me to, you know, become something kind of reputable. And I decided, no, I'll go into the entertainment industry and just, and so like I, 10 years later or so, I've got a couple of films that are coming out, and I'm just excited to kind of keep making stuff now. It's like, I've kind of got the bug. So, lots going on. Yeah.
Hell yeah. I was quickly going through your IMDb too, and I'm just seeing that you had a lot of producer credits on there, and seeing that you directed Subject, and looking at everything else that's on like your resume, it's nothing like this at all. So like, did you always want to do like actual like horror like professionally? Was that always an ambition of yours?
Actually, I had wanted to do it, but I thought it was really hard to get like money from it. And, I still haven't got any money from it. Like I'm still kind of trying, you know, like we shot this film on like under $20,000. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So we really like pulled a lot of favors, and just like it was a whole bunch of our friends that really kind of came together to create it. The thought was that I would kind of go into kind of directing more kind of thriller, sort of like action sort of style stuff. And I basically had an opportunity where it was like, oh, you can create this like, you know, small film, and we've got this script. And it came through actually an American writer, Vincent Baifey, who's a legend. And he had written this like pretty much like a 90-page monologue from this guy that was, you know, trapped in this kind of government facility. Yeah. And I was like, this is crazy. And like, but I kind of want to do it, and I just want the challenge of it. And so, yeah, we kind of set off with $20,000 and this crazy script, and just said, let's go for it. Let's try and like create something cool here. So that's where Subject kind of came about.
Oh, that's awesome. And you can really feel the love, and you, like you're saying that, you know, like you shot this like really low, but that's the thing with horror. It could be like, you could throw $100 into it, and it could come out looking amazing. Like the way the cameras are in here, and like bouncing between what happened in the past and the present, or like all the this weird psychological things. Like I did a non-spoiler review and I put it out yesterday, and it was like actually thinking about it and watching it again right before we did this interview. It really makes me think, what is reality and what's not? Is like, what's going on really happening to Will? Is it all in Will's head? And I love that. And you saying you shot it for such like low amount of money, like just that concept alone of you asking yourself, like, what's real, what's not real, is amazing. You guys nailed it right out of the park, especially when it comes to found footage. Great.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for saying that. And that's like, that's actually the thing that freaks me out the most, of the whole idea of what is kind of our reality, and because we have all these things that we're kind of brought up to believe.
Yeah.
And then suddenly actually recently we're seeing all these like, you know, these kind of more sort of detailed approach or scientific approach to kind of like detailing UFOs and all these sorts of things in our world. And it's like, holy shit, like there might be some kind of stuff we don't really know how to explain. And I suppose that's kind of where the monster came from in Subject, is you know, it is the epitome of our worst fears, you know, manifested into a monster. And so that was an interesting one because, like, we just thought, you know, sometimes it's great just to not show a monster and you know, and like you'll get to you know, like 90 minutes or something into a movie and then they'll finally show the monster and it's like a letdown. You know, when you see that and it's like,
yeah, bad, I know exactly CGI what you're talking about.
Yeah. So we were like, we were very, you know, we were very cognizant not to do that and to just be like, wanting to have like this weird kind of Lynchian creature that kind of he had to exist with and wanted it to be like more unsettling than sort of like, you know, jump scary. And, and so that's kind of, that was our approach. And so we had an actor basically like get, you know, get all the makeup on every day and the actors just kind of existed together in these kind of couple of rooms that you see in the film and they literally drove each other insane. So that was an interesting thing to watch on set.
Yeah, that's actually awesome. And I wanted to bring up the set. Was this something you guys built or was it already in like an existing building and you just kind of like just put up walls or whatnot? Because the room, they're small, but it feels big. And like as the movie progresses and you see him like, you know, tallying all the days he's been there and seeing how crazy and insane like Will is getting, I was really intrigued and wanted to know like how did the design come for the rooms?
Yeah, great question. It was actually built by we were super lucky that one of our executive producer, he also owns a production, like a building company.
Oh, okay.
And so we basically hired out a warehouse, and we built a couple of, we needed to kind of, the layout of the construction needed to be a specific way. And so they basically built it within kind of a week and so that we could kind of destroy the walls and you know, that was a tricky thing, was like where to place all the cameras like inside the set, because it's kind of a mixture between like a surveillance camera footage and like found footage. And
yeah.
And so that was really tricky because you kind of need the camera to be in a place where it tells the story, but it also feels kind of voyeuristic. That was, yeah, really tricky. So basically we designed the rooms, like each specific room had its own design. So like the bedroom is very much like inspired by Old Boy. The Korean film.
Okay.
And then we had kind of the more kind of scientific questioning room was something that we'd you know, we talked about, you know, for a long time to see what that design would be. And essentially we just thought, let's just keep it really bare. So it's just literally the performance of the actor.
Yeah.
And we had these kind of cool like fluoro lightings like you have in your studio there.
It's, you know, awesome.
That's all. Yeah. It's amazing what those kind of practical lights can just do for, you know, an audience's kind of point of view or perspective on a scene, you know, the colors that we kind of go through. So yeah, that's kind of what happened with the design.
Awesome. Cause it's very much set up like an interrogation room too, with like, you got the window there and you're looking into this essentially a void. You barely see anything in there. Like, you get a light and you can see like when the creature starts going in there, and then later on like when he goes over there and you see things and you're like, what the hell's going on? But like, I love the design and the acting from everybody's part is great, including yourself. So I wanted to touch on that as well. how was it balancing directing and acting in this?
Well, you know, I actually wasn't supposed to be in the film. And so we had another actor called Dustin Clare, who is a bigger Australian actor, and he's kind of, he was in, if any of the fans out there, for the Wolf Creek series.
Yes.
So he was the, he's the lead detective in that. And then unfortunately he had, his wife was pregnant at the time. She got sick, and he basically had to pull out the day before we started shooting. So so we quickly tried to scramble and get another actor into the role, but luckily the actor who I cast as Willem, Stephen Phillips, he was my he was actually a movement coach in drama school and my acting school, and so that's how I knew him. And he basically just said, look, I know it's a lot of dialogue, but I'll help you get through it. We'll kind of just work this together. And he basically helped me kind of learn the lines, like, on set whilst I was directing. And so I had to make some really quick choices. And it was lucky because I wanted less of the focus to be on that Dalsky character, and for it to just be like this weird, quirky guy that just kind of comes in every so often and basically fucks with the main character. And so it kind of worked out for the best, because I suppose in a way, like, you know, filmmaker wise, that's kind of what we do anyway. We kind of like are fucking around with our subjects all the time. So in a weird way, it's kind of meta in that space. Yeah.
Yeah. I have to say too, with this essentially taking place in America, your American accents are on par. Great.
Great.
Like, terrific. After I got the email saying this was an Australian film, but I was watching, I was like, is this from Australia? There's no way. These guys, they're American. What is going on here, Screenbox? But no, it's really cool, and that's awesome. Absolutely awesome.
That's good. That's we were concerned about that, but Steve Phillips, he's done a lot of American film and TV as well. So he's just like so on it with the accent, and look, he's so committed as an actor that he actually developed a tick, like a psychological kind of tick as he was kind of going through the process. Like, that was one, because we'd done a lot of acting together over in the past, and that was one time I was like, holy shit, man, like, this film is really getting to you, because, you know, if you start like kind of skipping out with your head, it's like, holy shit, this is actually getting to you. And so he had some, like, he was telling me he was having some crazy nightmares about the creature and all sorts of stuff.
Oh, no, it's seeping into his real life.
Yeah, so that it was good. Like, we literally shot it in 10 days. And it was good because, like, once it was, you know, once we got out of that location, it was so good for us all mentally, because I think we were all going a bit, like, insane in these kind of couple of rooms, spending, you know, whatever the shoot days were, 12, 14 hours a day in like these tiny rooms. So yeah, it drove us insane as well. So hopefully that comes across on screen a little bit.
Oh, it does. It does. And I don't want to spoil too much of this, because this is going to be coming out before the movie comes out. But yeah, just seeing how he's just going down this road, and like, you see his energy be depleted, and he even like kind of talks about like why he thinks that's happening, is really, really cool. And you can even see like the makeup that was on him, like, as like time progresses, and seeing him like turn even into more of like a shell of himself, and like super dehydrated. You can tell he's eating an egg a day. Like, what the hell? Like, you get an egg. That is it. And I thought that was so funny. And like, you have this guy locked in this government facility, so that way he doesn't go to prison, and you're only going to feed him an egg. It's like, what the hell? Whose idea was it to just be like, okay, just an egg and that's it, nothing else?
It's actually inspired by Old Boy in that I think he gets, the guy in Old Boy gets like 6 dumplings a day.
Oh, and, okay, yeah.
And so we just thought, what is something? I think the eggs were originally in the script, but we asked Vincent, the writer, if we could just make it a singular egg because it's just such... Like, it's just the saddest thing to have, like, you know, you, like, imagine going into a cafe and ordering, like, a single egg. Like, it's just so, it's so small, you know, it's just, like, not enough. And I think that was kind of part of the thing. Like, we, at every angle, we just thought as the filmmakers, like, how do we mess around with this actor and or this, with this character? And so, you know, even so far as, like, the reality stuff, is like we constantly wanted to just make it seem like the reality that you're kind of presented with, there are holes in it at every turn. And yeah, you know, there's some gems in there if you watch really closely, if you watch it a few times, like, you know, there's more and more of that kind of seeps through. You kind of go, oh, what the hell is that? And then you know, it won't kind of spoil the ending, but, you know, like, if you remember that scene towards the end where you kind of go into the room and it's just like, it's just kind of like a bucket and mop there, you know, things like that. It's just,
it's crazy. And like, I love what you guys did with this. And I was even saying on my review that I feel like this really brought a new fresh take to found footage, because it's one of those genres, it's like you kind of beat it to death if you just keep doing the same thing over and over again. But with this, like, what's going on and the atmosphere, the acting, with it being essentially a single location and a solo performance pretty much throughout the whole film, besides, you know, like, you get like the flashback scenes, which aren't that long, but it's really just focused on Will and whatever the hell's in that other room, is amazing. And I'm really excited for everybody to go and see this. But before you started directing this, did you watch any other found footage films to kind of pull inspiration by how you wanted some shots to look?
Yeah, I did. I mean, I love the found footage kind of genre. I essentially kind of wanted it to, like you said, I wanted it to kind of be outside that kind of generic found footage movie. So I was actually watching a whole bunch of kind of more cinematic horror films. So like I was watching like a lot of David Lynch's stuff. I was watching... obviously Old Boy, which is a huge reference for us, Panic Room, you know, Fincher's Panic Room. And I think, you know, I think we go into, there's a couple of sequences where we go into, you know, the sort of Blair Witch thing and, you know, like there kind of is a nod of the Cap to those sorts of movies at times. You know, paranormal or anything like that. But I think essentially we wanted to feel like more weird. And my inspiration was essentially like, you know, where you see those, you know, in Jurassic Park, where they're on the... it's Newman from Seinfeld. I can't remember the actor's name, but basically he's on a computer and then there's like it's like MS-DOS. It's like Windows 95. And like this little character kind of comes up on screen mocking you. Like basically my inspiration for the film was kind of that, of just like little silly kind of gifs that happen, you know, in kind of those, you know, earlier computers where you had like the hard disk drives and things like that. And, you know, like that was kind of like a big thing for me to kind of like, don't go into something that has like some preconceived ideas, but just kind of like take inspiration from kind of weird sort of kind of design elements. And so you see, you know, basically I thought, what if we were just all kind of in an experiment and there was a guy on a MS-DOS style computer just clicking on the files that are kind of viewing us, you know, that's kind of where it all came from for me. Cause I just think that's so weird. Like, that voyeuristic thing and probably is something that did occur, you know, in those MK Ultra sort of like experiments where governments kind of like look at things. And I just think that's such a weird thing to think about, like, you know, the technology being back then and the weird shit that would have occurred. And it also kind of, then, you know, for all those trippers out there that might be your listeners, you know, like the whole LSD thing is also really interesting because you could just kind of see this as like some sort of, you know, terrible trip as well.
Yeah.
You know?
That was definitely something that I was pulling from that as well. It's like, oh, maybe he's just like on a really bad trip and this is what it looks like inside his mind, you know, being just trapped here with this thing. But then there's so many other things that like, that happened throughout this film that keep making you question, oh wait, no, what I was thinking before is not what's happening. And then something else will happen and you go back and think, oh yeah, that is what is happening. I love films that make me think, and this is definitely one of them. And after watching it twice, I'm still scratching my head like, what is actually happening in this film? I love that. And there's a, for anybody who likes, you know, things after the credits, there is a very brief after credit scene. So after you watch this, make sure you go all the way through. It's very, very small, but it's actually kind of funny too. Your dialogue is really funny. We need more men. Oh man, it's so good. It's so good.
Oh man, I appreciate that so much that you enjoyed it. And yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, make sure you stick around for that after credit scene. Yeah.
Yes. It makes me want more. I would love to see like more subject movies with different people from other things that happen in life, because you see, you know, kind of Will be a drug addict, like he's doing that, but he has a family, and then, like, you know, things happen to the family, which, you know, makes him spiral. And like, as a father, it hit me really, really hard at you know what I'm talking about? Like, I was like, are you kidding me? Like, you don't really see it, but just knowing that that's what happened, I'm like, why'd you do that to me? Why? Come on, man. I want to enjoy my horror, not cry at my horror.
Totally, totally. Like that. I mean, that was a big thing. It was a big point in the initial script. And there was so much kind of debate about how we kind of go about that, and it's hard to kind of speak with about it without actually like going like divulging the
people
the
will reveal, know exactly what we're talking about as soon as they watch it too, and they'll be messaging you totally. And be like, Tristan, why'd you do this? And we'll go find Vincent too and be like, why'd you do this? Why'd you write this?
Exactly. And it's so messed up, isn't it? Like that stuff is, I mean, it's the worst possible thing you can imagine. And I think as well, like what essentially, you know, to go into those deep sort of dark places, is that the film in a way is like about the cyclic behaviors that kind of happen through everyone's lives. And so, you know, to not fully go there, you know, it could, you know, we decided that it had to be in there. And,
rightfully
and
so.
And unfortunately, like, I mean, there was stuff about going even further with that, but we didn't kind of want to make it unwatchable, you know, like something that was too, so it's kind of in there, but you know, in some of the screenings, because we played at Chattanooga and
nice. Monster I didn't Fest know that.
So there's, and it's actually playing at Popcorn Frights at the moment.
I think I did see that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, like, it's some people didn't quite fully comprehend that, but it was funny. A lot of parents knew exactly, you know, like they were so caught onto it. So, it's something, it's a little kind of thing in there that, I'm sorry we had to do that too, man.
Hey, you know, it's all good. Like that's what makes, you know, a good movie is when it makes you go through all these twists and turns and you think you're at the worst and you're not. And then something else tops it. It's great. And this is why I love movies and even books to some extent, but movies has really taken over my life. And to see, you know, someone really make you go through all these changes and having a great script, no matter the amount of money, and having great people part of a cast, and really having one person essentially carry the whole movie is really, really cool. And it's great to see that anybody can really go ahead and do this.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, we were so daunted at the fact of the amount of money we had, but you know, once you get like a small crew of people that are really supportive and kind of, you know, that's the beauty of the horror genre. It's like, you know, more money doesn't mean more scary or more creepy. Kind of like, you know, in a lot of ways, it's like, that's why like some of our best, most, you know, kind of awarded or like, you know, our favorite films are stuff that was shot like super low budget, and people had to kind of like find the innovation in those kind of films. So which is cool. Like I love that. And I mean, we're going to keep doing that. And I think your idea of subject of other people kind of in the room and seeing where their lives kind of been. I mean, I know Vincent Biffy, the writer, has already got kind of a second concept for that.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, which is really cool. So hopefully people, there is obviously, as you know, there's like an ending which allows for kind of certain things to kind of continue happening. So, we definitely are interested in that. If any of the fans out there that kind of come across the film want to definitely, you know, make sure Screenbox know about it, because we'll shoot another one anytime with a drop of the hat. Yeah.
Hell yeah. I want to see that right now. So I want to talk about the creature design a little bit. Was there an inspiration that you drew from for that? Or like, was there a storyboard? Did someone draw this up beforehand? You're like, hey, what do you think about this design? Or did you just kind of let someone go ham on it and be like, whatever you think is going to be creepy, you do it?
Yeah, pretty much we knew that the monster needed to basically evolve over time.
I like that. And that aspect too was really, really cool. It's kind of subtle, but you notice it, like, especially after the second watch, you see it kind of go through these stages, which I think is really, really cool.
That's right. And like, part of that is that the monster's kind of, you know, reminiscent of certain characters at certain times as well of the film. And so, that was like really cool to kind of go through. And what I loved about our kind of character design and makeup artists is that they had such a low budget to achieve what they achieved. And so, you know, basically they had all these kind of small little kind of tricks that makeup artists who were kind of doing big budget films would be, you know, they'd be spending, you know, thousands of dollars a day to kind of get these sort of effects, but they had these kind of little tricks. And I mean, the actor, the poor actor, had to sit in the chair for like 3 or 4 hours a day at least, you know, to kind of get there.
God.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane. And so they had really long days, unfortunately, but they, you know, the design itself, actually, if you see it, like the monster kind of gets in a weird way more beautiful throughout the film. So he or she has kind of more kind of sparkly things that start to appear on the character's face, on the monster's face, and that was kind of really cool and super bold from the makeup artist, because they were like working against the kind of make it darker, make it kind of, you know, grottier. That was a lot of fun. And the actor Joey Lay, who played the monster, he was so bold in all of his choices. He's actually about 7 foot tall.
Wow.
So he's a giant human being. Yeah. And so in the first kind of half of the film, we shoot him and he's always like kind of on his knees, or he's like, you know, we kind of try and make it so that he looks a lot smaller. And then as he grows, we just kind of get him to like be his full height, his full length, and he's just a giant of a human, which, you know, so all of that kind of practical stuff at the end where he just looks ginormous, I mean, he is in real life. So
you got, and anybody listening to this, you go on Bloody Disgusting right now, and they have the write-up on this, and you see that one still of him holding Will against the wall, and that is very terrifying, because seeing how tall he is and knowing that that's how tall he actually is, and it wasn't like stilts or anything like involved, and his movements around everything is like, I think this guy would be like a Cirque du Soleil actor or something with how much of like a snake he really was like acting like. It was, oh my God, it's haunting. And the first time you see like the creature up front is it takes a lot for me to like want to have to pause a movie and like look behind me, but like this has been the year of me having to pause horror films and look behind me and see if there's something there. That's a feeling that I'm always like looking for when I'm watching a horror film, because I've seen so many, been so desensitized to so many things, and seeing a fresh take on found footage and all these other things, and seeing a really creepy creature, it was really, really cool and a great experience, and I can't wait to see everybody's reactions when they see this.
Oh man, that's the best thing I could ever hope for. Thank you. You made my day to say that. Like, I'm the same. Like, it takes a lot for me to kind of you know, pause something and like get freaked out in your own home, but I love that. That's so good. That makes me like super happy that happened to you.
Yeah, it did. Like when the part when it's on the bed and it's, oh, I was like, I can't do this. Cause the way the eyes are like lit up and everything else on the face, like great job with the creature design. And I'm calling this film a found footage creature feature psychological thriller horror movie. Because there's so many things that happen in this film that you go through all of those stages, and that's a great feat. Like, damn, what a masterpiece, in my opinion.
Oh man, that's I'm so grateful for you to say that. That's so lovely. And I think you're right. Like, it is all of those things all at once, and yeah, I mean, obviously there's kind of mystery elements to it as well.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
And so it's just kind of like everything. So I, you know, I appreciate that. And because sometimes I think when, you know, it could have just been a whole mismatch of, you know, crap that we shot, that, because, you know, like when you go into something so ambitious, it just, you don't know if it's going to work or not. And so, Yeah, I mean, that's amazing. Thank you so much for saying that.
I mean, thank you to the team and yourself and Vincent for making a really entertaining film and for it to going on to my favorite streaming service since it's, kind of had its resurgence and going through the changes and everything. Like, what Cineverse and Screambox are picking out for their films, like, they are nailing everything. And one thing I really like about the service is how many foreign films are on here, including your own. And I wanted to touch on that because, Talk to Me is out right now, and that's also an Australian film. And I was hearing an interview with Danny and Michael when they were talking about how when an Australian movie is made, it doesn't really get the reach that that everybody's hoping for. It's either stuck there or it only goes to Europe or like some select spots. And for that to be a worldwide release, I wanted to ask you, how does it feel to you essentially having the same thing but on a streaming service?
Yeah, I mean, firstly, Talk to Me is like amazing. If you haven't seen it in cinemas, like go check it out. It's like
For sure, yeah.
I'm so proud of those guys. Like I think that like they they've killed it. And they are yeah, they're super talented and they obviously have an amazing storytelling ability and so yeah, definitely in Australia they you a lot of the films that kind of come out here don't get released so well in the States or for the rest of the world, and it's something to do with the types of films that are kind of like being funded here and like the it's hard to find filmmakers that have like really sort of crazy unique sort of but also marketable perspective. So
Sure.
a lot of our kind of government agencies, are not kind of funding the right sorts of content that are going to kind of hit the rest of the world. But I mean, Talk to Me was a perfect example where they had a good size budget that they were able to kind of, get funding here from Australia, but also it's like hit overseas, which is,
Again,
that's
A24,
amazing.
that's big. That's big.
It's huge. It's so good. And so having Subject released by Screenbox, and with Cineverse behind them and Bloody Disgusting as well, is like I'm so ecstatic to just like to have that and those that support behind us, because you're right in that they are creating some really cool stuff, and we knew that like when they kind of told us like what they've got coming up, and when
Yeah.
when we were negotiating the deal, I was like, I don't care what sort of money they give us, we just need to partner with these guys. And luckily they are super they're super generous as well, and so it was an amazing deal and an amazing kind of collaboration. I just couldn't be like I couldn't be happier, man, that we come from towns of like people that less than a million people here in our
Yeah.
certain cities, and so it's like amazing that suddenly like it goes on a streaming service and which has the reach of like hundreds of millions of people. It's like it's just mind-blowing, and I can't believe that I get to talk with people like you who just like love horror
Oh,
and
yeah.
all about it. So yeah, man, super grateful for having the opportunity that Screenbox have given us and Cineverse and Bloody Disgusting. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm so happy to pick you guys up, and I'm eagerly awaiting what is next. So I have a few fun questions to ask. That's pretty much all the things I wanted to touch on the film without going into spoilers. We can always do that another time. You said that you grew up, watching horror or making horror movies with your brother. Is there a favorite horror movie of yours that you go to quite often, or that you find most interesting?
Oh man, that is the hardest question to ask. But, you know, like so. I go in phases, and I'm shooting another film in October this year. And it's called Dusk, and it's a really interesting like concept in that basically it's about this guy who's had a curse in his family for generations, and he has the abilities that if he saves someone, he's got these kind of healing abilities. If he can save someone, he basically ages 25 years, and then if he's to de-age, he has to kill someone. So it's like, yeah, it's just super so basically throughout the film, he's kind of aging and de-aging, and he meets this like this woman who he kind of falls in love with. So he kind of needs to kind of keep up the facade of his age as well. And so it becomes like kind of this moralistic thing. And so there's a lot of, it's super, it's super interesting that film, but there's like an evil character who's after him at the moment. And, this evil character is also has kind of a history within his lineage. Basically, he is able to he wants to basically create his own hell on Earth, this particular character, and he's written in the script kind of like a Patrick Bateman in American Psycho. And I've watched American Psycho probably about 10 times within the last, week. And so, that film is kind of just, I think it's because I'm kind of prepping for another film that, obviously I love like films like The Exorcist and, all of those kind of like classics, but I've just kind of, because I've been watching that film on repeat, it's just so much in the forefront of my mind, and I'm just finding new things in it every time I watch it, that the satirical nature of what they do with that film, but also mixed with the horror elements, is like really exciting to me at the moment. I'm bringing forward a lot more of that elements, and like you get a bit of that in Subject, where it's kind of satirical at the same time as having the horror. So I love that stuff. That's kind of where my head's at the moment. What about you, man? Like, what I'm curious. What's your favorite?
First of all, I want to say I'm very intrigued on that film that you just sold to me. I want to watch that as soon as it's done. I love my slashers, and my favorite horror film it will always be, because it's what really, got me into the genre, out of my shell, and to want to dive into watching horror. And everybody who has listened to this show, knows is, Halloween 1978. I got Michael right up over here and a couple other variations of him, but just what that film did, and for it being an indie film, and seeing this huge resurgence and love for indie horror, much like yours and so many other ones that have been on either on the big screen or going to services, it gives me a vibe. And also with it being set in fall, I love Halloween, I love fall. It's the perfect film for me. But of course I love all kinds of horror, but whenever someone asks me what's my favorite, that's my favorite.
That's such a good choice, man. And actually this film, because like the American Psycho nature of that the evil character in our film, like there are a few like stalking sequence, which you always have to go back to those like classic Halloween, you know, scenes. I think that's such, it is so on the money there, like that, the way that kind of come about, and even so much as like the music and, mm-hmm. and just like, you know, the ingenuity of it all. Like, I just feel like that's such a good film as well. And, interesting, like, to create those sort of iconic horror antagonists now. Like, I'm just trying to think if has there been recent movies that have kind of created that, because you've obviously, we had that big, you know, sort of wave of those kind of evil guys, in horrors. I'm looking. I mean, hopefully, I can create one of those sorts of characters in some point of my career. That would be like the dream, you know.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Tristan, this was a great chat, and I don't want to keep you all morning because you are in Australia. this was great, and being able to really talk about this film that I am now somewhat obsessed with, and I'm going to go watch it again after this to kind of really look at those things you're talking about of, you know, little things just off. Like, I'm so involved with films that are like that, and to keep asking myself what is going on in this film. And maybe that will be revealed on in later, you know, installments. Who knows, maybe this will be your Halloween franchise. It'll be all subjects, and I'm so ready for anything that's next with you and anybody else. And seriously, thank you to Screenbox for letting this happen and letting everybody go and watch this. This was absolutely awesome.
Thank you so much, man. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
And we'll definitely get you on to talk about those other movies for sure.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. That'd be really cool. Yeah, I'll let you know. Even if you want to kind of film, call in to set or something, we could do like a sort of podcast, during set, which
would be
cool.
Awesome, man. That would be awesome. Hell yeah. We'll definitely keep in touch for that. Stick around after this, because I want to talk to you about something. But thank you, everybody, who has been listening to this and watching this. Go watch Subject when it launches on Screenbox August 22nd. It's a great, great film, especially if you love found footage. I think you're going to like it, because there's a lot of found footage fiends out there, and I'm really excited to see what they see. But thank you, Tristan, and everybody who's been listening and watching, and we'll catch you on the next one.